Hey, Brandon, it's Dr. Chris Colbert, and I want to say, keep being you.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Keep Being You podcast. We believe in the power of kindness, empathy, enthusiasm, and purpose to make a real difference in the world. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Colbert, and together we're diving deep into stories, insights, and conversations that uplift and inspire. Whether you're an educator, leader, or simply someone who believes in creating positive impact, this podcast is your space to connect, reflect, and grow. So sit back, tune in, and keep being you because you are exactly what the world needs. I'm so grateful that you are here today. Hey, friends, and welcome to the Keep Being You podcast. I'm Dr. Chris Fuller, I'm your host, and I'm super excited to be here with you today to be diving into our first episode rooted in the kindness, empathy, enthusiasm, and purpose. Before we have that chat, I want to tell you about who I am, why this is important to me, and how I got started into this work. First and foremost, I'm a son. I'm like a lot of our students today, or like a lot of individuals who are in this world today, right? I come from a divorced family. My mom and my dad separated when I was 6 years old. My mom remarried. And so we moved to Oklahoma from Fayetteville, North Carolina, when I was six. My dad also remarried. God rest my stepmom's soul. She passed away last June, and often have many, many positive memories of her and think of her often. But when my mom moved to Oklahoma, we split time between Tulsa during the week and on a farm in Wyandotte on the weekends. And so that was our normal. My brother and I split time not only between two spaces in Oklahoma, but then in December and in the summertime, we would go to our dad's house and spend a length amount of time there, most of the time June to August when school was out. And we would go to North Carolina for 2 weeks in December. And so that was how we operated during the school year. That's how we operated for many years of our life, thinking that was normal because that was our normal. So I'm a proud son of a divorced family and can relate to so many individuals who have navigated those same experiences, whether they were young in life or they were older. It doesn't necessarily matter. And I'll tell you, growing up on the farm in Wyandotte was some of the hardest work that I've ever done in my life. I know that life is not for me, but it does not discredit the amount of work and the hard work. Let me say that, the hard work that our farmers and ranchers put into the world. I am so grateful for their service to their livestock and what they do on the farm to ensure that they have opportunities to provide for other individuals. And so my mom and my stepdad still live on the farm. I call it the funny farm sometimes, right? Because we just never know what you're going to experience. Last week, she texted and said they were getting a new chicken coop, right? A couple of weeks before that, they were getting guineas. And so what's next? Goats? I mean, you just literally never know. But I love that it brings them so much joy and so much fire and so much excitement down on the farm, and they're making the best of it. I visit frequently or sometimes, right? Not as pro We're all guilty. So I don't visit as much as I need to, that's for sure. But when I go back, I'm always reminded of the things that we did as a child. And I hope through this podcast, as I share stories of kindness and empathy and enthusiasm and purpose, I'm able to share with you some of the experiences that I had on the farm and some of the stories. In the blog that we run as part of Orange Sparrow, if you haven't checked it out, it's called The Kind Voice, always looking for guest bloggers as well. But the blog, I talk about how there was a time on the farm where the fire wood splitter caught on fire, right? And how I navigated that and then reflection. And so lots of positive things that happened on the farm. Not only am I a son, but I'm also a brother. My brother Zach is 3 years younger than I am and is an incredible, incredible hairdresser, stylist, hair extraordinaire, I guess what we should say. He's in Tulsa, 3 years younger than I am, and just incredible, totally incredible. A couple of years ago, he thought about moving to Dallas. And had an opportunity potentially, had he moved, to work at the salon where the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders have their hair done. So I think that's just a testament of his talent and just so grateful to have him as my brother, right? Super, super grateful. I have no athleticism. And during my workshops and my keynotes, I always tell a story about how I was in fourth grade and there's this picture and I have this fabulous tracksuit on, friends, fabulous fabulous. It's black and yellow. And this kid behind me had a basketball. And I said, "Hey, can I borrow your basketball for my school picture?" And he said, "Sure." And so I have this school picture in fourth grade where I'm posed with this basketball in a tracksuit. And friends, my mom thought I made the basketball team. And so that is my story of being a little bit of an athlete. Even though I have absolutely no athleticism, I can do all the social events. I love to hang out and to chat and talk through the games and to have the food and all the things there. But playing sports was not it for me. But what was is playing school. I have loved school since I was a young kiddo. My poor brother and my grandparents, my mom, my dad, everyone had to play school for so many hours. And I'm so grateful for their many hours of contribution to my passion. But my dad tells a story and it's hilarious. My partner, Kelly, he laughs and he says, I love when your dad tells a story of when he was having this birthday party at Office Depot for me when I was younger. And people were like, Sean, kids want toys, right? Kids want all these Nerf guns and this. And he's like, not my son. He wants a pointer and a globe. And it couldn't be more true because I carried a briefcase, friends, a briefcase with my multiplication fat cards in it to third grade. So I have always loved school. Although when I graduated high school, that wasn't the traditional path for me. I knew that I wanted to be a teacher. I'd always clearly, right, played school for years and years. But my mom and my stepdad discouraged me from pursuing that path. And here's why. It's the common thing that we've heard for many years. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to make any money. You're not going to make any money. And so after I graduated high school, I went on to junior college, right? Because that was the path for me. And I'll tell you, I dropped out three times. I couldn't get macroeconomics. I couldn't get accounting. I couldn't get statistics. And to be honest, some of those classes I wouldn't survive without a dear friend, Natalie, if she's listening. Hey, Natalie, I'm grateful for all those years ago that you helped me through those classes. But I couldn't make it. And so I dropped out. And I remember going back on my fourth try and I launched as an English ed major. And I was so successful in that pathway. And I'll tell stories later as we keep moving forward, because I have a story of the power of yet that's so transformative. So once I finished my degree in English education, I became a high school English teacher working for several years in different schools, was a middle school administrator, and then most recently, I was an executive team member of a superintendent's cabinet in the OKC metro area. And in June, I walked away from that work and that path and launched my own business, Orange Sparrow, which is deeply rooted in spreading this kindness, love, joy, and hope, no matter where we go. Orange Sparrow is the home of the kindness store. Launched that in August and super excited to have connected with so many. I cannot emphasize how many incredible educators that are out there that are truly changing the world. At Orange Sparrow, we believe that we're the go-to experts for understanding Gen Z and Gen Alpha. We spread light and inspire hearts through this transformative power of kindness, right? And people ask me all the time, hey, why did you choose Orange Sparrow? Why did you choose this as the business name, right? It's simple. It began with a bold and risky creative idea. Friends, I walked away June 30th not really knowing what my plan was on July 1. I had some ideas. I had encouragement and support from my partner, Kelly, who I'm going to get to in just a second. But Orange Sparrow was not only, I'm so sorry. It's always a hoot and a holler when you're working from home and recording these podcasts and then you have the dog barking because the wind is blowing. Anyways, thanks for your grace and understanding. So Orange Sparrow began with this risky idea. I had this idea of what I was going to do July 1, but not really, right? So orange is my favorite color. It's something that sparks intrinsic joy and happiness. It also says that orange brings out the boldness in others to take risks and to be optimistic and exude that positive energy. Friends, I was taking a risk, right? The sparrow helps us find balance, harmony, and peace. It also reminds us of integrity, empowerment, persistence, and wisdom. So together, Orange Sparrow is focused on spreading kindness, empathy, enthusiasm, and purpose at the forefront of all that we do in order to help, heal, serve, and lead. We aim to operate with high levels of integrity to empower those around us and to be diligent and persistent in our endeavors and to share wisdom through our experiences and our stories. I believe that if we cannot find the light, we should be the light. And that's what Orange Sparrow is all about. And so when I launched this business in July, it has been a hoot and a holler and a ride and a half. And I'll tell you, it's been so fun. I'm so grateful to connect with so many incredible individuals. I'm grateful to have connected with people not only here in the state, but also in state as Oklahoma, if you don't know where I'm currently stationed, but also so many people all over the world. I've connected with individuals through online platforms and Zoom. And so it's just been a really transformative experience. And I'm so grateful. I shared with you that I am a former administrator, I'm a former classroom teacher, I'm a brother, I'm a son, but I'm also a partner. My partner Kelly and I have been together for 11 years, and I'll tell you what, he's super encouraging and he's inspiring and motivating. We got our doctorates together in 2020, and there were days in which we didn't know if one of us could keep going, and the other person would always counteract that individual and say, hey, keep going, you've got this, right? Dig down deep. And so throughout this journey on Orange Sparrow, he's been a constant encourager and motivator, and I'm incredibly grateful for his constant inspiration, encouragement, and motivation, and all he does to shine light in this world for inclusion and acceptance and belonging for all people. And so just just incredible, incredible, and super grateful for our robust relationship and all that we've been through. Not only do I work at Orange Sparrow and lead this very transformative kindness work that I'm passionate about, very passionate about being kind, and I'll share my story as to why kindness is important to me, but I also work at Oklahoma City University, working with new teacher interns in a human development class, and I'm part of the graduate program as well, teaching innovative leadership and technology courses. And so it helps me keep a pulse on what's happening in today's world as I work with new teachers and new leaders, and it's just been incredible. Dr. Sparks at OCU is phenomenal and has an incredible vision to grow the education department. And I can't thank her enough for being part of this work and this visionary leadership that she has, rooted in service of others. And just, it's an extraordinary, extraordinary opportunity. And so if you're looking to get a master's or anything that may need additional degree or certification, please reach out to OCU. It just is incredible. So as I shared, the Keeping You podcast is talking about how you add value to different spaces, how you are incredible in the work that we're doing, right? Talking through kindness, empathy, enthusiasm, and purpose. And my story with kindness started several years ago because I was working as an assistant principal at a campus. And I'm not going to labor that part because there's a lot of trauma there still, if you will. But I'll tell you, it was the most destructive campus that I've ever worked on in my entire career, including some of the ones I've worked in various spaces. It encouraged me to go on to get my doctorate, right? And so the culture was so bad that I wanted to find out, how do we retain and motivate people into the field, right? How does school culture have a correlation to motivation and retention? And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor. At Orange Sparrow, we believe that every person deserves to feel valued, heard, and inspired. Whether they're in the classroom, the workplace, or in their community, we're here to make that happen. As experts in kindness-centered leadership and culture building, we specialize in transforming environments to foster kindness, empathy, empowerment, and trust. Our services are designed to meet the unique needs of today's world. With tailored consulting, coaching, and workshops, Orange Sparrow equips educators, leaders, and organizations with practical tools to reach and connect with today's generation, like Gen Z and Gen Alpha. We help build connections, strengthen trust, and create spaces where everyone can thrive. We're here to empower, whether it's through dynamic speaking engagements, transformative coaching, or hands-on training. Orange Sparrow is committed to creating a positive impact that lasts. Ready to bring kindness, trust, and empowerment into your respective space? Let's make a difference together. Orange Sparrow, where every voice matters and every action counts. If you can't find the light, be the light. Contact Orange Sparrow today. And friends, we're back to the episode of Keep Being You. That space in which I worked probably was the lowest point of my life. I had to call the employee helpline. I had to engage in therapy and figure out what's going on. I had this lack of faith and hope in not only the situation, but also the leaders above the situation, had lost faith and hope in systems, had lost faith and hope in what I knew to be true and what I knew to be right. And as I worked with my therapist and began to change my mindset, what I realized is that everything was teaching me something. But I didn't see it that way at the time. I was frustrated in the space, I had a victim mindset, and it impacted my emotional, physical, and mental health. And so as I began to lean into gratitude, as I began to lean into mindfulness, as I began to lean into kindness and empathy and understanding, it changed my perspective. And so I always share that I genuinely believe that life is happening for us and not to us. I believe that each experience is teaching us something should we choose to see it that way. And I get it. It is a paradigm shift sometimes, right? It's a mindset shift that we have to see these experiences that are hard for us to find the good in it. And listen, I'm guilty. I'm probably been in the exact same space that all of us has been in at one point, where we create these stories in our head, and then when they don't operate the way that we want them to, then we get frustrated, right? We're like, that's not the way it's supposed to play out. The reality is, and you know this to be true just as well as I do, we don't get to predict the outcome. What we get to do is respond to how the outcome happens, right? So we don't get to choose how things unfold necessarily, but we do get to choose how we respond and react in situations. Each experience is teaching us something. I think about, had that experience, that school not ever happened, I don't know that I would have researched that. I don't know that I would have gone on to get my EdD. I don't know that I would have found kindness. I don't know that I would have found gratitude and all of those missing pieces in my life at that time, at the time that I needed it. Perhaps I would have found it later in life. I mean, that is to be true or to be seen, right? But it was necessary for me to find it in that time. I applied that same understanding as I navigated throughout the rest of my career and as I move into the workspaces today. And so that is my power of kindness. And here, and my not my power of kindness, but sorry, the reason I'm so passionate about kindness and why it's so powerful to me. I worked in that space where the leader was extremely toxic. And I walked away from that space and I said, I will always treat people the way that I want to be treated. And I think about that golden rule when we were children, right? When your adult figure, whether it be a parent, guardian, caretaker, whatever it may be, that individual probably shared some kind of manners or being respectful or treating others the way you want to be treated and being kind. I'm not sure where we've lost that philosophy along the way. And I'm guilty of it as well. As I shared earlier, I was rooted in a victim mindset prior to this experience. But now when I walk away from that experience, like I shared, I am rooted in making sure that I am intentional to treat people the way that I want to be treated. And sure, I slip up along the way. We all do. But it's being intentional to forgive ourselves, reflect and connect, and making sure that we're being intentional about our spaces and what we're doing. And so that is my story with kindness. As I shared with you, I earned my EDD researching school culture, collective impact on teacher retention motivation. And we hear a lot around the dollar, right? Like, oh, it's money. And I'm not negating the fact that teachers do deserve to be paid way more than what they're paid. And a lot of individuals who are in the service industry deserve to be paid more than what they're paid. But what the research found in my own study at the middle school level was that individuals not cared about money as much. What they cared about is what I call the 5+1 model. The five things are relationships, trust, empowerment, autonomy, and recognition. And the reason I say plus one is because a lot of that is completed through communication. What we don't communicate, people create their own perspectives and their own stories. People want relationships, they want to be trusted, they want to be empowered, they want to have autonomy, they want a recognition, and they want to know that they are heard, seen, valued, and respected, right? If you're not familiar with the Pygmalion effect, it talks about how we have high expectations lead to high performance and low expectations lead to low performance. It also says that our beliefs influence our actions, which impact others' beliefs and cause others' actions towards us to reinforce our beliefs about others. And so it's this cycle, right? And you know that today a lot of individuals are looking for affirmation and validation from an online platform or social media of some sort. And so when you live in that way, you create parasocial relationships, which are those one-sided relationships that you cultivate in your head. And if you aren't getting the likes and shares and comments that you're seeking, then you can have an internal negative dialogue, right? So that's so important that we do not have our subconscious running our relationships. So we are using the Pygmalion effect to encourage others. We're being mindful with our words. We're encouraging others. We're uplifting. We're finding value that we add to the space. And we're celebrating the unique individuals and perspectives that are in our collective spaces. I hear a lot from educators about, oh man, these kids are difficult. I wish I had that class I had a couple years ago. And I share, hey friends, spoiler alert, they're not coming back, right? They've already moved on to the next grade level. They've already moved on to the next class. But we have to care about the students and the individuals that are in our respective spaces now, because I believe that either they are teaching us something should we choose to see it that way, or we are teaching them something should we choose to see it that way. No matter what it may be, it's a learning experience, right? That connection, that opportunity with them in your classroom, with them in that respective space, they're teaching you something. That is the kind of mindset shift, paradigm shift that I'm talking about. This isn't unique to education, friends. This is for anyone. This is any workspace. This is any kind of corporation, nonprofit, work for those entities as well. It's about treating people. I'm not sure where that British accent just came from, but I didn't share. My grandmother was British, so perhaps she was coming through. I appreciate that. But it's about making sure that people feel safe in order to take risks, right? It's about being safe through kindness, that you're encouraging them, you're uplifting, you're celebrating growth. That I read a statement this morning that says, I wish you'd get back to respect. And I shared with a colleague through text message that respect is rooted in kindness, right? You're not going to respect someone unless they respect you. And you're not going to do that unless they treat you the way that you want to be treated, which is rooted in kindness. And of course, I didn't engage in that argument with some individual, but it made me reflect back and think, really, it's as simple as being kind to someone else in order to change your life. There's a lot of science around kindness, and it's transformative, right? It's really powerful of the science that's there, and it's rooted in research. And so I want to share with you some of the science that's out there related to kindness and why It's so important. It's not just one more thing. It really is intentional to ensure that we are creating these spaces that people feel seen, heard, valued, and respected, and that they can feel a sense of belonging and safety. The science of kindness is real. You're 10 times more engaged with your job or any activity when there's kindness, whether you're kind to someone or someone's kind to you, or the experience is kind, right? Kindness increases your mood by 90%. Kindness increases your feelings of belonging by 80%. 75% are more likely to be kind to others when someone is kind to them. It reduces your stress by 28% and it increases your motivation by 50%. In totality, kindness is not about just being nice friends. It's about creating a space where every individual feels seen, heard, and respected. It's in that environment people feel trusted. It's in that environment that's where real growth will happen. It's in that environment that learning can take place or those innovative ideas can take place. Because listen, people are not going to risk fear, fail, and fall if they don't feel like it's a safe and trusting environment in which they can take those risks, right? And that's about if they mess up and fail, is the leader going to come ridicule them? Or is the leader going to encourage and say, that's okay, what did you learn from this? And how can you be better next time? That's the kind of leadership rooted in kindness that we're looking for. And that is why it's so important to me that we are kind to one another to motivate spaces and just making sure that not only are we motivating and being kind to one another, but we're being kind to ourselves. Because if we do not have an internal positive dialogue, then we're less likely to exhibit that into an external positive dialogue, right? There was research done in March of 2024 in Asia that talks about how empathy is out of decline. There's a 2018 study done that talks about there's a decline in empathy, but there's also a research study done in 2024, as I shared in Asia, that talks about there can be an increase in empathy if this happens. You have to demonstrate a virtual empathy of some sort, right? So you have to reflect on emotions, make connections on that experience, and reflect about what's happening in that virtual world to show empathy in a virtual setting in order for it to be translated into the real world. If that does not happen, then it's less likely that empathy is going to be in the space. And so when we are creating these experiences that are rooted in kindness, where everyone feels seen, heard, valued, and respected, we're creating high levels of empathy and compassion, rooting and knowing that we're doing the best that we can do and assuming positive intent. That's the walk of life, friends. We've got to be nice to other people, not even if we want to or we can't. We got to dig down, eat deep, right? Brené Brown tells us that when we want to foster high levels of empathy, we have to dig down deep. Sympathy is easy, just saying, hey, I'm sorry, and literally just moving on. Empathy makes us to reflect and connect and dig down deep to find an experience in our own life that we've navigated that's similar to somebody else's, right? It's that extra connection with that individual to say, hey, I can recall something similar, and I'm so sorry with what you're going through. I can imagine how difficult that must be, right? So let's all be focused to be a little nicer to one another. We're all trying our best. And that's the power of kindness, but that's the power of you. You can choose to show up and be kind to yourself. You can choose to show up and be kind to other people. You can choose to show up and be kind in respective spaces to be that light, right? As I shared, Orange Sparrow is focused on if you can't find the light, be the light. That's the power of you, friend. That's the power of you. You can be the light. You can be that one kind person. And friends, I'm not talking about these large, arduous tasks that you think you're going to have to go do, right? I'm going to lead a kindness campaign for my city. No. That is not what I'm saying. These small things that you can do to be that bright light is a kind word, right? I am grateful for you. I appreciate you. I see you. It could be a kind gesture, a smile. It could be another kind gesture like opening the door or holding the door open for someone or taking someone's grocery cart and putting it back, right? Or it could be a kind word. You could say, I love your hair. I love your nails. I love who you are. Thank you for showing up as your authentic self. No matter what it may be, it's simple as that. As part of this kindness spreading work that I do, I send out a newsletter called The Kindness Connection every week. And in it, I put a Tuesday message. I believe in Tuesday because it's a play on Tuesday, but it also reinforces the power of choices. We have a choice to be kind. We have a choice to show up with kindness in our heart. We have a choice to have grace and to lead this life with understanding and positive intent and empathy and compassion. And a friend of mine wrote on social media, and she said, hey, Dr. Culver, I'm not a stalker, which I don't ever think that. I'm always just so grateful people reach out. And she shared that she had implemented that Tuesday message into her classroom as a bell ringer for students to say, hey, it's Tuesday, I choose, and then to put positive things about themselves. That is incredible, right? Or how about starting a meeting with gratitude to say, these are the things in which I'm grateful, right? Or taking 60 seconds and quieting your mind. Those are the transformative things that you can do, that you can set the precedence of, that can bring kindness, love, and joy, hope, and optimism, not only into your respective space, but into yourself, right? And so as we move forward through this conversation on this podcast, I want you to know the transformative power that you bring to every space. I want you to know that I see you, I hear you, I care for you, I'm rooting for you, and I'm grateful for you. I want you to take intentions that are best for you. So for the rest of this week, or whenever you hear this podcast, no matter what it may be, for the rest of the time of this week, or this weekend, or this month, whatever, wherever we may fall based on where you're listening to this, I want you to, for the next 3 days, wake up each and every day, and I want you to find one thing that you're grateful for, two things that you can do better today than you did yesterday, and who are three people that you can reach out to hold you accountable. It's my version of the 1-2-3. Again, what's one thing that you're grateful for when you wake up? Because research says when you start with a moment of gratitude, right, when you wake up, it changes your attitude for the day, right? So what's one thing you're grateful for? It could be, I am grateful that I'm still laying down, right? Or I'm grateful that I'm opening my eyes. Or I'm grateful for the marvelous day that's before me, right? What is that one grateful thing? Then the second thing, what are two things that you can do better today than you did yesterday, right? Perhaps you missed an opportunity to smile at someone. Or perhaps you missed the opportunity to open the door for someone and give a kind word, right? Reflect there. What are two things you can do better today? And who are the three people you can hold accountable? I always like to share messages of hope, love, joy, and optimism through text messaging and say, hey, I miss you, I'm grateful for you, and I see you. Hold me accountable, right? Those are the conversations that can happen to hold yourself accountable and individuals and other individuals to be accountable. As we come to a close on this first episode, it's been a joy connecting with you and sharing words of wisdom. And I want to leave you with this last story that really changed my perspective on laughing, smiling, and kindness. I was watching a TikTok video not too long ago, and this man was standing at a bus stop, and there was a bunch of individuals there. And this man by himself just starts laughing hysterically by himself. And eventually, a couple others chime in, and they have 2 or 3, and more than 4 or 5, and then 6, 10. And what happens by the end of this experience is the entire bus stop is laughing, but nobody knows why, but it all started because that man was laughing. You see, that is the power of you. You have the ability to foster contagious environments rooted in happiness, love, joy, hope, and kindness. So today, friend, I challenge you. Go smile. Go be the light that you are. And know that I'm rooting for you and I'm grateful for you. And I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Keep Being You. I hope you found a little extra kindness, empathy, enthusiasm, and purpose to carry with you today. Remember, being you is exactly what the world needs and is the best thing for yourself and the world around you. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and even leave a review. This helps more amazing people like you find us. And of course, stay tuned for our next episode. Until then, keep shining bright and know that I'm incredibly grateful that you were here with us today.